Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Lamed Gimel. We're already a little bit more than a third of the way down, about 15 lines down from the top of Lamed Gimel, Omer Aleph. And we begin with the words, our Gemara has the Rabbi Eliezer Omer, but the proper gears according to Masoros Hashas should be Rabbi Elazar Omer. So that's where we begin. It's right in the middle of the Tosos Ve'ula. The Gemara starts and tells us, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar tells us that Edim Zomimim, in regards to the penalty for Edim Zomim, Mamona Mishame, they pay monetary damages that they tried to cause. Let's say they tried to say that Reuven owed Shimon $100, so they're obligated to pay the $100 to Reuven that they tried to cause him to lose. However, Umilka Lo Laki, but they don't get Malkus for this. This is similar to what we paskined yesterday, and here we have another reasoning for it. So Elazar brings down the reasoning is, Mishum Delav B'nei Hasra Ninu. The reason why they can't get Malkus is because you can't give them Hasra. Why can't you give them Hasra? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Teda. The fact is as follows. As Rashi says in Dibra Maskul, Teda. She'i Evshor Lahasros B'hem. There is no way to go and give them Hasra. And in the previous Rashi, he says, Delav B'nei Hasra Ninu. He says, Kodim Eidos, that there is no way to give them Hasra prior to their giving the testimony. Kidim Forish Rava, as Rava is now going to explain to us. And the Rashi continues and he says, Iko Leman Shinhu, if you have to go and give them an onish, Lo Ta'an Shinhu Ela Mamon. You only can make the Edom Zomim pay monetary damages and not Malkus. Although we'll see in a moment there is one situation where we do give them Malkus. Because he says, De'ain Onesh Haguf below Hasra. Because normally you can't give a punishment to the body, such as Malkus, without giving Hasra. And he says there will be an exception of Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza, but we'll see there's no alternative over there, and that's why that's the exception that proves the rule. In any event, let's go back to the Gemara, where Rabbi Elazar tells us that Mishum de Lavine Hasra Ninu, and Rava explains, Tei, that you should know that it's impossible to give them Hasra, because Nisre Behu Emas, when should you give this Hasra? If you're going to give it Nisre Behu Meikara, if you're going to tell us that we should give it, as Rashi says Meikara means Yom Osho, Kodim Shur Ido Eidos, you give it to them sometime, some significant time period before they give the Eidos, so then, you know what they're going to say? Omre, they could possibly say, Ish Talion, that we forgot it. As Rashi says, Shachachnu HaHasra, Harisha Botlo HaHasra, if it's enough time between the Hasra and the action, so then they're testifying, so then they could legitimately say, we forgot the Hasra, and therefore the Hasra is not a good Hasra. A Hasra has to be given right at the time of the action, right at the time of the Maisa. If we're going to say, so Nisri Bu Bishas Maisa, if we're going to say, okay, so right before they testify, give them the Hasra. So you know what they're going to do? Parashay Velo Masadi, as Rashi says, Afilu Emes. These are really a good pair of witnesses. They really saw Reuven borrow the $100 from Shimon. But going to say, hey, listen, we need this like a hole in the head. Hol v'onu chashudim beinechem. You obviously suspect us for lying, and that you're giving us this hasra. If we're lying, we're in a lot of trouble. So malonu ulutzara. So what do we need this? We need this like a hole in the head. And therefore, we're going to walk away and not testify, even though they're really testifying honestly. I nisrei b'hulasov. So let them first give the testimony, and then right then and there, give them the hasra. Too late. My dahava hava. As Rashi explains, if you're going to give them the hasra, li achar sheidu. So then, my dahava hava. The kivan shehigit. Once they gave the testimony, it's too late to retract it. Einu chozer magid. This is a famous principle we've discussed previously. That once witnesses give the testimony, you can only give hagado once. You can only tell it over once. You can't change your mind and give a different testimony. Then you hold on chazar, and they can't go and retract that testimony. So therefore, Rava explains Rabbi Elazar, saying there is no choice, and therefore they can't be given hasra. And therefore, they can't be punished with Malkus to the Guth, and the only thing that they can be asked to do is to pay the damages that they tried to occur, that they tried to cause. Now, Maskva Abaye doesn't like this. He says, V'nisrei behu b'soch k'dei dibur. He says, why can't you give it a little b'soch? As they're actually giving the testimony, so then add on right then and there, toch k'dei dibur, give them the hasra, and this way they could change their mind, and that's still called one haggadah. As Rashi points out in Dibra Masel v'Nisri b'hu b'soch k'dei dibur, li achar she'idu, let the two witnesses give the testimony. Yes, Reuven owes Shimon $100. The toch k'dei dibur, right then and there, give the hasra, and then k'dibur dami. If they were to retract because they got the hasra, it would still be considered one hagadah v'chol laso. They still could go and retract it. So Abai says, why not give the hasra then? Why are you saying, Rava, that you can't give the hasra? Give the hasra then. Or alternatively, Maskla Ravacha Breda Ravika. Alternatively, Ravacha Breda Ravika says, I also could find the time that you could give the Asra. Vinisribu Meikara. Give them the Asra a day before. We said that they could argue they forgot. you know what? Unirames b'hu remuse. Make some sort of a signal right before they give their testimony to remind them of the asura that they got yesterday. And Rashi explains, you do this in a way, b'sha'aso edus nirmos lehem remozim al asura laskiram. However, you're reminding them, but they're not going to run away now. Like we said before, if they're going to say, I need this like a hole in the head, because if you suspect me of lying, so then I don't want to give the testimony, even if it's true. But you're doing this, u'beloshun rach, shlo yakpidu. Rashi says you do this in a soft way, just to remind you, you know, yesterday we gave you hasra. That's what we give to all the witnesses, a hasra. So we're just reminding you, so they can't say that they weren't reminded. But in this way, they'll do it, according to Rav Acha Brei de Ravika, they'll give the hasra in a way that won't make them run away. And it's right there, but at the very beginning, so they can't say that Ishtalion, that we forgot it. However, Abaye retracts his opinion. Abaye says, Harhadar Amar Alaya, Abaye subsequently said, Lav Nil Sahidi Amri, that which I said that you could give the Asura Toki De Dibor is in fact not right. If you were to say that Edim Hazama need Hasra in order to get Malkis, so then Kilo Masrinon Behu, Lo Katlinon Behu. So then what you're saying is if you didn't give Hasra, and they gave false testimony that Reuven killed Shimon, and therefore their testimony would have caused Reuven to be killed in Beis Din, so are you saying that if they weren't given Hasra, these false witnesses wouldn't get Misas Beis Din for Hazama? So Miiko Mide, the Inhu Bo Kotil below Hasra, the Inhu Bo Hasra. They didn't give Reuven Hasra. They just came to the court and said that Reuven killed Shimon falsely. So they didn't give Reuven Hasra. So then how could we not kill them, even though they didn't get Hasra? The Gemara is saying, according to Abaye now, that there is no reason to go and give the Edei Hazama Hasra. Because just like they don't give their people that they're testifying against Hasra, so too they don't deserve, so to say, to get Hasra themselves. And therefore, this whole idea that Abaye says, no, we can figure out a way to give them Hasra, is wrong. He says, they don't need Hasra. Lav b'nei Hasra ninu. Not because Rava says that there's no way to give them Hasra. He says, no, they just don't need the Hasra. I, ha-bo'inon, v'asisim lo kasher zonon, lasos li'ochir v'leka. Because the pasuk says that we give them the punishment, asisim lo, we do to them, kasher zomam lasos liochiv, like they wanted to do to their brother. And therefore, in that situation, they didn't give Hasra, so therefore they don't get Hasra. That's how Abaye understands Rabbi Elazar. Nevertheless, we still have a question. Maskev lo Rav Sama, bereid Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Sama, who was the son of Rav Yirmiyah, said, I have the following problem. Elamayata, but based upon what you're just saying, as Rashi explains, Dibra Masal Elamayata, Dahai Delo Bo Hasra, that which we're saying that you don't require Hasra according to real laws, Mishum Kasher Zomamu, the reason is that you give them the same thing that they tried to do, Vasisimlo Kasher Zomam Lasos, if that's your reasoning, so then Elamayata, how do you explain the following, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, if the two witnesses come and say that Reuven is in fact the son of a Grusha, the son of Chalutza, and therefore he's not a good Kohen, he's a Pasala Kohen, he's a Cholo. So then we find out that these two witnesses were Edom Zomim. They said that we saw the divorce, we saw whatever it was, the proof that they had, that they were claiming that Reuven was a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. And it turns out, Imano Yisim, they were someplace else at that time, and they couldn't have witnessed what they said that they witnessed. So therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to make them into a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza? The two witnesses are now going to be considered a Cholol? No, that's not the way it works. Delo, that we don't do. Mikasha Zomam, Komisrabi. In that situation, what they try to do, it's not something that we can give them. They're not Kohanim. So therefore, making them to a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza doesn't work. So in that situation, based upon what you're saying, they should need Hasra. Liboy Hasra, because after all, we're not doing to him Kasher Zomam Lasos. They tried to make this guy into a Cholo, saying he's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. But we're not making them into a Cholo. We're not making them into Kasher Zomam Lasos, we do to them. Basislo Kasher Zomam Lasos. No, we're giving them Malkus. So maybe in this situation, according to you, Liboy Hasra. Shmuel says, no, even though you're technically right in this situation, we're not doing to them asisim lo kasher zomam lasos, and you could argue that we should in fact go and give them hasra if we want to give them malkus, nevertheless, Amakor, the apostle tells us, mishpot echot yelochem, that there's one ruling for all of this din. And therefore, mishpot hashava l'kuchem, this is one rule that applies across the board. And therefore, in most situations, if we're doing basis lo kasher zomam lasos, so then even in the situation where we're not doing exactly kasher zomam lasos, asisim lo, we don't give them the punishment that they tried to do, but we give them malkus, nevertheless, the ruling across the board stays that there is no requirement for hasra. Okay, so that's Rabbi Elazar's din, and it's explained as we just did, and therefore the Edim Zomimim are Mishalmim, however, low Loki. Okay. Rav Shisha Brei D'Ravidi Omar, Rav Shisha Brei D'Ravidi tells us the following din, Chovu B'Chaveiro, if a person does damage to his friend, so Nami Mamona Mishalim Amukalo Loki Mihocha. He says, this is the source for the din that Mamona, they pay money if they damage somebody else, but we don't give them Malkus, even though they're over Lo Yosef, which we said yesterday was the lav for the base, and not to give extra lashes, and we generalize this to say that nobody's allowed to go and hurt somebody else. So one might have thought that you should get, as Rameyer had said, for example, that you pay both money and you get Malkus because it's two separate lavin, but Rav Shisha Brei D'Ravidi, passings like the Chachamim that say that Mamona Mishalim, they just pay the money for the damages that they did, but they don't get Malkus. And it's based Mehoch from the following Pasuk in Mishpatim, V'chi Yinotzu Anoshim, you have two men that are fighting, Yinotzu, the Tosus Yontif brings down, is a Lashon of Machlokus, of fighting. So, the Yinotzu Anoshim, V'nogifu Isha Harod, two men are fighting, but instead of hitting each other with the fatal blow, they unfortunately hit a woman who was standing nearby, let's say the wife of the man that he was trying to hit. He hit her, and he gave her a fatal blow, and he caused her to die, or he caused her to miscarry. So, So instead of hitting the man that he was trying to hit, he hit that man's wife, let's say, who was pregnant, and he caused the babies to miscarry. So what's the halacha? The Omer Rabbi Elazar tells us, Bimatzus, this was a fight, again, Tosfos Yontif says this lotion of Bimatzus comes from Yinotzu, this fighting, Shebemisa was a fatal type of fighting. Reuven was trying to kill Shimon, and instead of killing Shimon, he went and hit Shimon's wife, let's say, and caused the babies that she was carrying to miscarry. So, Bimatzus Shebemisa, this storm had a fatal blow across the Medaber. And the Pasuk says, Dirsib, Vim Oson Yiyeh, Vinosatin Nefesh Takas Nefesh. If, in fact, Reuven had killed Shimon's wife, Im Oson Yiyeh, there was an accident that he actually killed her, so then he has to pay with his life. This goes according to the Shita, as Rashi points out. In Dibra Maskel, Hakosim Medaber says, V'afapi shalom niskabin el chaveru. Reuven tried to give the fatal blow to Shimon, but instead he hit Shimon's wife and caused her to die. V'ashmina, we see from here, this man the armor holds, niskabin laro gezeh, v'hora gezeh chayef. If Reuven intends to kill Shimon, but instead he kills somebody else, Shimon's wife, so then, in that situation, the Yuachayev Misa, the Nasate Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. However, the Pasuk continues and says that if they were fighting, Nogifu Isha Rav Yatsu Yelodel, below Yelson, then Anosh Yonesh, Kasher Yeshisolov, Balu Isha, the Nasan Bifli Lim. It tells us that you have to go pay monetary damages in that situation. So, let's understand the Pasuk now fully. Hechidami, what are we talking about? E Delo Asrube, if they didn't give Reuven Hasra, that if you land this blow on Shimon, you're going to die. So then if they didn't give Hasra, so then Amai Miktel, how do we kill somebody without giving Hasra? That certainly, everybody agrees, that if you don't give the murderer Hasra before he commits the murder, there's no way that you can put him to death by Mises Beistin. That's what Gemara elsewhere tells us. It's very, very unusual for a Beistin to give Mises Beistin, because it's very, very unusual to have the murderer about to kill somebody else and you have two kosher witnesses there and give him Hasra. No, so what were we talking about? El Pshita, the Asrube. We obviously are talking about, at least in theory, that this exactly did happen. The guy's about to murder, he's about to try to land a blow on Shimon, that would be a murderous blow, and the two witnesses warn him and say, listen, if you do that, you're going to be Chai Bisa, and the guy says, I'm doing it anyway, and then he hits the blow, but he doesn't hit Shimon, he hits the pregnant woman. So in this situation, we say, Umusra ledover chomer, have a musra ledover akal. So this Hasra that they gave was for Misa. If you go and give that blow and you kill him, so then you will in fact be Chayiv Misa. So that also works and says, and if you don't kill him, you will be Chayiv Malkus because of Velo Yosef. You're not going to go and hit your friend. And what do we see over here? Even though he's given Hasra, and we want to suggest that giving Hasra for the stricter idea of Misa also suffices to be a Hasra for Malkus, and nevertheless, Yom Rechman of the Pasuk says, if there is no Ason, Gloy Ason, then Anosh Yanesh, then he has to pay the Nosan Bifli Lim, we punish him, but he'll have to give money and not Malkus. So this is the source. So Shisha Brei D'Ravidi says, that Achovu B'Chaveiro, we see from here, from Reuven trying to hit Shimon, and instead he hits Shimon's wife and causes her to miscarry, so then there's only a monetary penalty, even though there was Hasra, and it could have been both Malkus and monetary penalty. So we only give the monetary penalty and we don't give the malchus. Maskev l'Ravashi. Ravashi says, wait a second. Mimai de mosra l'dover chomer, heavy mosra l'dover kal. Why are you assuming over here that just because they gave him hasra for misa, that that also includes and incorporates within it a hasra for a dover kal, for malchus? Maybe, no. Dilma, low heavy. Maybe the hasra for misa works for misa, but it doesn't work for malchus. Who says that it automatically works for the dover kal? Tosus explains at the end of the Ramaskal Mimai de Mosra, so he says, Yesh Lomar Digzeris HaKosifu, Deboinon, Shiyatir Atzmo Liosu Misa Ben Kala Ben Chamura. That there needed to be a special Xeris HaKosif telling us that if you got a warning, a Hasra, for one type of Mises Basin, and instead he did something that would give you a different Mises Basin, that that worked. And you needed a special Xeris HaKosif, implying that the general position would be that it isn't automatic that if you got a warning for a more chomer dikka misas beisdin, then you would get automatically a hasra that would apply for even a lesser misas beisdin. So to over here, dumma lo hevi. Rav Ashi says, who says that just because you got the warning that if you go and kill Shimon with this blow, you're going to be chayev misa, who says that if the warning also automatically incorporates that if you don't kill Shimon, that you're chayev malchus for hitting him? And even if you want to say that that's true, in Timtzi Lomar Hevi, if you want to say that, yes, there is a din, if you got a hasra for something more chomer, that it also applies for hasra for something less chomer, for something more kal. So the Gemara asks the amazing question, Mimai de Misa Chamura, who says that Misa is more chomer than Malchus? Listen to this understanding as we turn to Lama Gimel Amud Beis. One could argue, Dilma Malchus Chomer. In fact, one could make the argument that Malchus is a more strict punishment based upon the following. The Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Il Male Nagdua L'Chanani Mishol V'Yazariah Pochu L'Tzalma. When Chanani, Mizol, and Azariah were thrown into the Kivshon HaEsh by Nebuchadnezzar because they wouldn't bow down to the idol. Some suggest it wasn't an idol. We'll explain that in a moment, that it was just an andarta. It was just like a bust of the king. It was a bust of Nebuchadnezzar. And they wouldn't bow down to it. So they were willing to give up their lives. They were being thrown into the Kivshon HaEsh, and they were willing to be Moshe Nefesh and possibly die. But Rav said, that's because Misa is easier. It's a one-time action. Boom. You're now going to be thrown into the fire. They were able to be Moshe Nefesh, and boom, then they're dead. But if they would be constantly whipped, if they were in fact, if Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah had been tortured, they would have polchu l'tzalma, they would have not been able to withstand it, and then they would have in fact bowed down to the tzelem. Now, this is the understanding that therefore Misa is actually less chomer than Malchus. A person might be able to withstand Misa, but wouldn't be able to withstand Malchus. So therefore, even if you want to say that giving hasra for something more chomer automatically includes the hasra for something more kal, who says that the misa is more chomer? Amazing. Maybe the misa is actually less chomer than the malchus. Tosos points out in the top Tosos that you could have said that you can see from Ir HaNidachas, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, that you might have thought that in Ir HaNidachas might have gotten malchus, and instead we judge them specifically and give them Mises Basin, so you could have argued that Mises Basin is more chomer. But here, just we're arguing from a logical point of view, who says that Misa is more chomer than malchus, going against what you initially probably would have thought, certainly at first blush, from what Rav says, they would have gone and bowed down. Others have the gears over here in the following way. The Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah never would have bowed down. So this is a rhetorical question. Are you suggesting that they would have bowed down to the statue? No, they would have been able to withstand such torture. But the implication is, it says, they never would have bowed down to the tzalem. And this is a rhetorical question. If they had been whipped, would they have bowed down? It didn't say if you had killed them, would they have bowed down? No, they were willing to be most inept. But he's saying, even if they'd been whipped, which is stricter, so they still wouldn't have bowed down. Then I mentioned previously, Tosos holds that this wasn't real Avodah Zarah, albeit Tosos says it's Akashi, uses the Lashon of Polchul Tzama, which implies that they were actually doing Avodah Zarah. Would they have done Avodah Zarah, or they would have done Avodah Zarah, whichever way you want to learn it, as a rhetorical question or as a definitive statement, yes, they would have not been able to withstand the torture. But in any event, Tosos does suggest that this was an Andarta, this was a bust of Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore technically Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah could have bowed down to it because it wasn't a Chiv of Avodah Zarah. But they want they went lifnei mishuras hadin, and they didn't want people to think that they even were doing something to an andarta that they were technically allowed to do, but they didn't want people to think that this was acceptable behavior. And they learned out, Tosfos Elsa tells us, from the Tzfardeya in the Makkah of Tzfardeya in Mitzrayim, that the Tzfardeya was told, go everywhere. And there were some Tzfardeya that went inside the ovens. They were willing to be most in effort to go inside the oven to fulfill the dictum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go everywhere. And therefore, they said, if the Tzfardeya, who's not Mechuyev in Mitzvos, goes inside into the oven, so we also have to go into the Kivshon HaEish to make a Kiddush Hashem. In any event, so Gemara says, bottom line is, who says that this is a Hasra for Misa is automatically a Hasra for the lesser Malkus? Maybe the Malkus is actually more Chobar. Gemara says, no, that's not correct, because Omar Le, Rav Sama, Bered the Ravasi, Ravashi, either it was Rav Sama, who was the son of Ravasi, said to Ravashi, or it was Ravashi's son himself, Amid Lord Rav Sama, Bered the Ravashi, who said to his father, Ravashi, Velo Shani Loch, Bein HaKosh, Yesh Loch Kitzva, LeHaKosh, Ein Loch Kitzva, Misa is more Chomer than Malkus. You know why? Because Misa is a one-time thing, and Malkus is a one-time thing. It's 39 lashes, and the person will be able to be stoical and say, I'm going to be able to withstand this. And therefore, Misa is also a killing. So if a person is getting Hasra for the killing, certainly he can get Hasra for the 39 lashes. It's automatically incorporated, and certainly the Malkus is not more Chomer. But it's a one-time thing. When Rab brought down, so that's because they wouldn't be tortured just one time. Okay, we're going to give you 39 Malkus, and you're going to bow down. So that they will be able to withstand. But every day they're going to get 39 Malkus, and every day they're going to get additional torturing. And therefore, in that situation, that type of torture is more chomer than Misa. But Malkus, which is a one-time din of 39 Malkus, or any subset of 39 Malkus, if the doctor said they can't withstand 30 Malkus, they get only a multiple of 3. They may get 3 Malkus, 6 Malkus, 9 Malkus, 12 Malkus. So that's a one-time thing. A person definitely could withstand that. If he could withstand Mitzah, so then he could withstand that. So the Hasra for Mitzah would incorporate a Hasra for Malkus as well. So therefore, Rav Shisha, Brei Ravidi's understanding of that you don't get Malkus was a good raya. Nevertheless, Gemara still questions this and says, Ma'asik lo Rav Yaakov bin Nahar Pekod. Rav Yaakov, who comes from Nahar Pekod, asked on the sheet of Rav Shisha Brei de Ravidi, saying that by Chovel you only get monetary damages, but you don't get Malkus based upon the psukim that we just brought down. And he said as follows, Honich le Rabbanan, that works according to the Rabbanan, the Amrei Nefesh Mamish. That works according to Rabbanan that says, Niskavin lezeh the Horag zeh, is Chayiv Misa. That works out great according to Rabbanan. As Rashi brings down on Ichla Rabbanan, he says to the Gorin Sanhedrin, in Elon HaNisrofim, Niskari Lago Zeh, Lahorig Zeh, Chayiv. Oh, so that works out great. Therefore, Venosat Nefesh means Mamish, that you're going to go and kill Reuven if you warn him about killing Shimon, and he instead killed Shimon's wife. Nevertheless, we still give Reuven Misa with that Hasra. So this works out great. However, Elo le Rebbe shito the Omar Mamon, but according to Rebbe, when he says Vinosate Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, he doesn't mean that you give Misa. In that situation, he says it means money, because he holds Niskabi Larogazeh Varakazeh Eino Neharag Elo Mishalamin Demei Isha Liyoshah. The woman Nebuchadnezzar that was killed, so she is worth a certain amount of money, and therefore that money is given to her inheritors. So according to this opinion of Rebbe, then you don't have this drasha that Rav Shisha Berei de Ravidi said. So Michael Amemar, how are you going to derive here that by Chovel there's only monetary damages that you pay, but there is no Malkus? So Mor says, you're right. El Omer Rav Yaakov min Har Pekod Mishmei de Rava. So he gives his own reasoning. He schlogged up Rav Shisha Berei de Ravidi, and he gives his own reasoning for why there's only monetary damages for the Chovel B'Chavero and not Malkus. And he says the name of Rava, Mehocha, from the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Im Yakum V'Salech B'Chutz Amishan Tov V'Nikwa Makeh. If two people are fighting, and Reuven hits Shimon, and he gives him what seems to be a potentially fatal blow, so then you go and keep him captured. You don't let Reuven go away until you see what happens to Shimon. He's in the ICU. Is he going to die from that blow, or is he not going to die from that blow? So, im yakum v'yisalach b'chutz, if Shimon does get up from the ICU and walks around outside, so then v'nikar makeh, then we don't give Reuven Misa. However, in that situation, rak shivto yitain v'rapo yirapeh. So the pasuk tells us that he does have to pay monetary damages in that situation. So now we analyze that pasuk. He says, in the name of Rava, the chisala al baidcha shezem halich bashuk v'zeh narak. Would anybody have had a havamin to say that Shimon got up and walking around after he got out of the ICU, he's walking around in the street, and yet we're still going to give Reuven misa because he killed him? He didn't kill him. The guy's walking around. So what do we need a pasuk to tell me? That if he walks around, then you pay monetary damages and you don't kill him. Ella, it comes to teach us, Malami, Shechov Shinoso, as I said, we go and keep Reuven in check. We go and put him in jail until we see what happens to Shimon. If Shimon dies, then we go give Reuven Misa because he was properly warned. But if Reuven is fortunate enough that Shimon doesn't die, so then we just make him pay a monetary damage, but we don't give him Malkus. So therefore, Malami Shechov Shinoso, we go keep Reuven in jail until we figure out what happens to Shimon. If Shimon in fact dies, Katlinale, then we do have the right. We gave Hasra. We do have the right to go and kill Reuven. Be low mace, and if he doesn't die, so then rock shivto yitain v'rapo yirapay. Then we pay the monetary damages and not any sort of malchus. Now, we explain this further by saying hechidom. What exactly is the case? Idlo isrubay. If there was no hasra on Reuven, don't kill Shimon. So then, obviously, amai mikdal. We wouldn't go and kill him. You can't go kill somebody unless you have hasra. So obviously, we're dealing with a case they gave hasra. El pshita the asrubay. Clearly, they gave him hasra. And now, umos roladover chomer, mos roladover kal. And here we apply this principle that Misa is stricter than Malkus, and therefore when they gave him the Hasra, that if you go and kill Shimon, you will be killed, it also incorporates, and if you don't kill Shimon, you would get Malkus for being over Lo Yosef, for going and being Chovo B'Chaveiro. And, Amar Rachmana, yet the Torah tells us, in this situation where Shimon doesn't die, Rach Shivto Yitain V'Rapo Yirapeh, you just give him the financial penalty and you don't give him Malkus. So this is a source for Yaakov and Har Pekot saying over the name of Rabbah that you see that you give, even though he was given Hasra for the stricter one, that also implies that there's Hasra for the less strict one, Misa and Malkus, and therefore we don't give Malkus in this situation, but we just give the monetary penalty. This is a source for saying that Achovu B'Chaveiro is Mishalem, but not Loke. Again, Maskev for Ravashi. Ravashi asks over here, Mimai the most rule of Dover Chomer, heavy most of Dover Kal. He says, where do you again get this assumption? Same thing we just went through a minute ago. We're going to go through it again now. Why are you assuming that if you got the Asura for Misa, that it automatically implies that you got Asura for the Dover Kal? Dumulo heavy. Maybe that's not. It's a Xeris Akosav that you need to get specifically for the Dover Chomer or specifically for the Dover Kal. But you can't incorporate the Asura for the Dover Chomer to say it automatically includes the Dover Kal. And even if you want to say that, Bim Tim Tsi Lomar heavy, if you do want to suggest that that automatically is true, that if you got Hasra for the stricter aspect, so it also incorporates the lesser aspect. Again, the same question we asked a moment ago. Who says that Misa is more chomer? Dimu Malkus is more chomer because of what Rav said. The Omer Rav. If they had been tortured, they would have in fact gone and bowed down to this Tselem or the Andarta. We just explained this a minute ago. I'm not going to explain it again. But basically, who says that Misa is Mochamer? Even if you want to say that you got Hasra for the Mochamer, it incorporates the Hasra for the Dover Kal, who says that Misa is Mochamer? Maybe the Malkus, in fact, is a Mochamer punishment. So we give the same terrors we gave a moment ago. Amalei Rav Sama, Breda Ravasi, Ravashi, or was Amalei Rav Sama, Breda Ravashi, Ravashi. Either was Rav Sama was the son of Ravasi, said to Ravashi, or was Ravashi's son himself, Rav Sama, who said to Ravashi, no. There's a big difference between somebody saying, you're going to get lashes right now. We're going to give you 39 lashes or any multiple of three, less than 39. We're going to give you lashes right now. So a person could steel himself and say, I'm going to be able to withstand that. It's a one-time thing and I'll withstand it. So therefore, if he's willing to withstand Misa, he's being warned, you're going to get death. So that's a one-time thing. So too, we could withstand the Malkus, which is a one-time thing. So therefore, we can say that if you get Hasra for a Dover Chomer, and incorporates even the Dover Kal, because here clearly Misa is more chomer than Malkus. However, torture, which is a continuous, daily, regular, nebuch, ongoing thing, so therefore that might be worse, but that's not Malkus. Malkus is a one-time thing, as opposed to torture, which Rav said that Hanani Mishol and Zayir would not have been able to withstand, so that is different. Okay. Maskevler of Marmari questions Rav Yaakov min Harpakot Mishmei Durava. He still questions this, and he says, Mimai d'bemezid v'nika miktala. Who says that this pasuk is referring to the Hasra being over here, that if Reuven, you go and kill Shimon, you're going to get Misas Beistin? Who says that it means Misas Beistin? Maybe when it says v'nika hamakeh, Rak shivto yitain, rapo yirapay. Maybe it means that you won't get, instead of misa, duma bishogeg v'nikomigolos. Who says it means that you won't get misa? Maybe it's talking about that this is an accidental death. We're warning him. If you go and kill Shimon, you're accidentally going to kill him. You're going to go into golos. This is a misa bishogeg. You killed him unintentionally. And what the pasuk is actually referring to is not mikdala. It's not talking about whether you get killed or you don't get killed. It's whether you get golos or you don't get golos. Someone says, Yataka, right. For Mari's question, it's a good question. Kasha, we don't have a clear-cut proof. When it says, the Niko Hamakeh, it means that he's Niko from Misa. Maybe it means Niko Migolus. So we don't have an answer to that, Kasha. When the Mari uses the terminology of Kasha, it means there is an answer. The Mari just doesn't bother to give it to us right now, as opposed to Tayupta, where there usually is not such an answer. Okay, that concludes this little, so you're here right now. Now we go back. If you remember, a few days ago, we had a stira between our Mishnah, which said that if you go and Rahman al-Islam have relations with your sister, so then we said that there is the knas, your sister was a basula, you had relations with your sister, so chiyuv karis, nevertheless, you pay the knas. And then we had the Mishnah in Makos, which said that if a person has relations with his sister, he doesn't get the knas, but instead he gets malchus, and we had a stira. So we gave two terutz with this, we gave Ula's terutz first, then we gave Yochanan's terutz, and now we're going to have a third terutz, that of Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish Amar, how do you reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Makos? Our Mishnah says you do get a knas for having relations with your sister. And the Mishnah Makkah says that you get Malkus, but you don't get a Knas if you have relations with your sister, Rachman al-Islam. So Reish Lakish Omar, Homani, he says, who is the author of our Mishnah, which says that you do in fact pay a Knas for Rachman al-Islam going and assaulting your sister? That's Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Remember, we had Rav Meir who said, Domar Loke Umishalim. Rav Meir's opinion was, there are two separate Isurim over here. One is, don't go and have relations with your sister. And the other one is, if a person is Rahman al-Islam assaulting a basula, so then there is a chiyuv of knas. There are two separate averis over here that he did, and therefore there's loke umeshalim. This one is different than that one. So for this one you get the knas, and for this one you get malchus. So Mor says, if you're going to tell me it's Rav Meir, then I feel a bitonami. So then how come in the next mission that we're going to have a din that if a person Rahman al-Islam goes and assaults his own daughter, so then he doesn't pay the knas. Now, that's a chiyuv of Misas Beisdin. So there he doesn't pay the knas. But why does our Mishnah therefore rule that he does pay the knas? If later on, Rav Meir says it's also two separate Yisurim over there, having relations with his sister is different than the chiyuv of paying the knas for violating a basula. So if they're two separate Yisurim, so why over there doesn't Rav Meir also say that for Bito you should have Misa and knas? So Gemara says, you're going to tell me, V'chitema, Rav Meir loku mishalim isle. If you're going to tell me that having Malkus and paying, that Rav Meir goes, but to have Misa and to pay, that he doesn't go and hold, because there you have the problem of Kom Lemi the Rabba Minei. That's an exception to the rule. Even Rav Meir holds from Kom Lemi the Rabba Minei, so for Misa and Mishalim, he says you only get Misa, the stricter one, and you don't have Mishalim. But when you have Malkus and Mishalim, you could get both. Below, Sugumur says, you wouldn't in that situation, according to Rav Meir, get both. He doesn't hold from Kamali B'Rav Meir even in that situation, because we learned in the following Braisa, Tanya, the Braisa tells us, if a person is Gonav V'Tovach B'Shabbos, we know that the din is you're not supposed to steal, of course. And if a person steals a goat or a sheep or an ox, so then there are different penalties. You have to pay kefil for the stealing it, and then if you, in fact, went and gonav the tovach umachar, if you then shechted it or sold it, so for the goat or the sheep, you pay four times, and for the ox, you pay five times. Now, if you did this on Shabbos, so then, if you shechted it on Shabbos, so now you're over Isser Shabbos. So that should have been kom le mid rabamine, that you shouldn't be chayiv the additional four or five penalty because you did the tvich on Shabbos. So therefore, gonav the tovach v'Shabbos, or Gonav v'tovach levodas kochavim if shechted for avodah zarah. So that's also a chiyuv of misa, and therefore it should negate the requirement to pay the four or five penalty. Whether you shechted a sheep or a goat, so then you pay four. If you shechted the ox, you'd have to pay five normally. But here, if it's avodas kochavim, so then it should be kamlim with the rabbi minei. And likewise, gonav shor haniska lutvachu. If you were to go and steal a shor haniska, which is worth zero, it is set to be killed. It was paskin that this shor either killed a man or that this shor had been worshipped for avodah zarah, and it's supposed to be killed. It's a shor haniskal in this situation. If you stole it and you shechted it, in all three of these situations, we shechted on Shabbos or you shechted for avodas kochavim, or you shechted a shor niskal, Rav Meir holds mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha, despite the fact that it's kamli with the rabbinay. Divri Rav Meir, the chacham poetry, the chacham hold kamli with the rabbinay. You only get the stricter punishment for shechting on Shabbos, shechting for avodah zarah, but you don't get the additional financial penalty. But clearly, Rav Meir says mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So how can you tell me Rav Meir holds kamli with the rabbinay by misa, and therefore meis mishalim leslay, but loka mishalim islay? That's not true. Rav Meir holds we don't apply kamli with the rabbinay. So Gemara answers, we answered that already. Hoyid mara law. We said in regards to that brisa that Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yaakov's name Rabbi Yochanan, or Amar, others say it was Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Shimon Lakish. It wasn't Rabbi Yaakov who said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Yirmiya who said the name of Rish Lakish, and they said it in the name of Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Ilah, the Chol Chavrusa, Mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan Amre, and they said it over in the name of all the Tamid and Chacham, including Rabbi Ovin and Rabbi Ilah, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, B'toveyach Ayde Acher. You know why over there Rav Meir said that you get both the Misa punishment for Shechting on Shabbos or for Shechting for Avodah Zarah, and you have to pay the 4 or 5 penalty, is because somebody else went and Shechted it. B'toveach ayde acher. So you have to pay the 4 or 5, and the other person who Shechted it on Shabbos or Shechted for Avodah Zarah, he'll be the one that will go and get the Misa penalty. But it's not the same person. If it was the same person, it would be Kamlei the Rabbinate, and Rav Meir also holds Kamlei the Rabbinate by Meis Mishalim, therefore Lesley. You wouldn't have both. But by Lokim Shalim, you could have both. Morris says, wait a second. How could it be that he's telling his friend, listen, you go and shecht it, and he's chayev for the 4 or 5 payment? After all, he wasn't the one that actually did the shechita. So he should only have to pay the 4 or 5 if he did the shechita. But when he tells his friend to go do the shechita, and the friend did it, zechote, the friend is doing the sin, and he should be chayev for that. So Morris says, yes. Amar Rava, Amar Chavona, the Torah tells us, Utvacho o mecharo, if you shecht it or you sell it. Now, when you sell it, you have to sell it to somebody else. So ma mechira ayde acher, by definition, mechira involves somebody else. So too, aftavicha ayde acher. So too, by shechting it, if somebody else shechts it, you are the one that has to pay the 4 or 5 penalty, even though you didn't shecht it yourself. And we learn this out from utvacho o mecharo. It tells us if you shecht it or you sell it, just like by selling, there has to be a third party. So too, by tzvicha, even if it's a third party that does it, nevertheless, you're still chayev over here for going and having it shechted to pay the 4 or 5 penalty. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, they Rabbi Shmuel Tona, in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they learn the following. We have utvacho o mecharo. The word o is lerabos es hashaliach. He doesn't learn it out from the hekish that we just said between tvacho and mecharo, but he says the X word. He could have just said tvacho u mecharo. It says o mecharo. That comes to be marbe, that even though he's not the one that shechted it, but he asked or told the friend to go and shecht it, so nevertheless, he told him he has to go and pay the 4 or 5 penalty in that situation. Alternatively, the chizke, taught in the base medrash of chizke, they learn tachas. The rabbis is shaliach. You have the extra word tachas. Chamisha bakar yishalem tachas ashor v'arbatzon tachas aseh. So the word tachas comes to say, even if you're making him into a shaliach for you, you're still going to be the one that has to pay the 4 or 5 penalty. Fine. We have concluded that it could be Rav Meir over here who says that Kamlei mid the Rabbinei applies only by Misa and money, and therefore you only get Misa, but you don't pay. But by Malkus, you could be Mishalim as well. But we go back and raise a question. Maskif lo Mazutra. Mazutra says, wait a second. Mik or Midi, is it possible? Dilu avad hiu lo mechayev. In the situation where the person stole it, he then shechted it on Shabbos, or he shechted it l'avodah zarah, in that situation, he would in fact say, kom lemi the rabbinei, Rabbeinu would say it applies in that situation. So, ihu lo mechayev, he wouldn't have to pay the 4 or 5 if he did it, but if he told it to a shaliach, b'yovet shaliach hu mechayev, then he would have to pay the 4 or 5. That doesn't make any sense. If himself doing it, he would be chayev, and for a shaliach, he would be chayev. So Gemara says, ihu lav mishum de lo mechayev. No, you can't say that he's not mechayev. He is mechayev, except el mishum to kamlei be the rabbi minei, because we have this principle of kamlei be the rabbi minei. So while he's chayev, he doesn't have to pay. But it's not that he's not chayev. Aigmor says, great. I betoveach ayde acher. I understand if somebody else shechts it. So we say in that situation that he has to pay the 4 or 5, and the other person would be chayev misa for shechting on Shabbos or for shechting levodah zara. However, My Tamay the Rabban and the Patri. So then why do the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Meir say that he's in fact Patri in that situation from paying the dollar the hay? The Chachamim said Chachamim Patrim. Why? Why should they be Patri in that situation? So Moshe says, who are these Chachamim? Man Chachamim. We turn to Lamed Dalet Lamed Aleph. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. What did Rabbi Shimon say? The Amar Rabbi Shimon holds, Shchita She'ena Re'uya Lo Shmo Shchita. A Shchita that isn't going to make the food kosher is not considered a valid Shchita. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, a famous Shchita throughout Shas, that if you do a Shchita that doesn't make the animal now acceptable to be eaten, so then that's not called Shchita. So therefore, if you shechted it on Shabbos, but it wasn't a valid Shchita, you're not Chayiv Misa in that situation. If you shechted for Avodah Zarah, and it's not a valid Shchita, so then, in that situation, you're not Chayiv for slaughtering on for Avodah Zarah, or for Hilchos Shabbos. So that's Rabbi Shimon, whose opinion it is over here, the Shchita, Shein Aruya, Lo Shmo Shchita, and that's why the Chachamim say, in that situation, you're not Chayiv. Shmuel says, that's great. That works out great for Shechtin for the Avodah Zarah or Shechtin for the Shor HaNiskal. In that situation, the food is forbidden to be eaten. Once you Shechtin for the Avodah Zarah, it's also by Noah, and the Shor HaNiskal was already also by Noah. So therefore, we can understand why a Shechita, Shein Aruya, Lo Shmo Shechita. It's not considered a valid Shechita in this situation because you can't eat from it if you Shechtin for the Avodah Zarah or you Shechtin for the Shor HaNiskal. So therefore, that's why this could be Rabbi Shimon's opinion. But Elo Shchitas Shabbos, Shchita Ruyi. Rabbi Shimon would agree that a Shchita on Shabbos, while you're not allowed to do it, it's a valid Shchita. As we learned in the Mishnah in Chulin, where it tells us it's not. Hashochet b'Shabbos v'Yom Kippur, Mevruchmona l'Tzlan, somebody shechts on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. So then, Afa b'Shem Mishchayev b'Nafsho, Yechayev Miso, Yechayev Shechting on Shabbos Skila, and Yom Kippur Yechayev Kares. Nevertheless, Shchita Ksheira, somebody could eat this meat. The meat is considered Shechted meat. So Gemara says, how therefore can this be in accord with Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, because this is in accord with the opinion of Yochanan Asandor as well. So have a look at Yochanan Asandor. What did Yochanan Asandor say? The Tanya, we have a brisa that says, if Rachmana Lusan have a vashu b'Shabbos, if somebody went and cooked something on Shabbos, now, if he did it b'shogeg, Tanakaba Reb Meir says, if you did this by accident, so Yocha, you're even allowed to go and eat it on Shabbos. However, b'meizid lo Yocha, if you did it intentionally, so then you're not allowed to go and eat it. You're punished over here, and we don't let you eat what you cooked. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda goes and qualifies this further, and he says, Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Bishogeg Yochal Amotzi Shabbos. He says, no, you can't eat it on Shabbos if you even did it accidentally. You didn't realize it was Shabbos, and you cooked it. Now you can't eat it on Shabbos. Nobody can eat it on Shabbos. Bishogeg, you have to wait until Kidei Shiasa, the amount of time that it would take you to go cook it after Shabbos, then you can eat it after Shabbos. It's not also by Noah, but you have to wait. B'mezid, Lo yochal olomis. But if it was done intentionally, then you're never allowed to eat it. That's a knas that the rabbis instituted. And now we have the opinion that we're interested in, Yochanan Sandler. Yochanan Sandler Omer, Bishogeg yochal matzi Shabbos. Yes, if somebody accidentally cooked on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and eat it on matzi Shabbos. You have to wait Kedei Shiaseh, and then you can eat it. However, that is la'acherim v'lo lo. He can never eat it. That's only other people would be allowed to eat it if he cooked it on Shabbos by accident, so he can never eat it. The other people that can eat it after Kedei Shiaseh, if you waited enough time after Shabbos to have cooked it, then they can eat it. However, b'meizid, if you intentionally went and cooked on Shabbos, Rav Yochanan Asandler says, lo ye'ochel olomis, not only you, lo, the lo li'acherim. Nobody can eat it. And therefore, this would be a shchita, she'ein aruya, even according to Rabbi Shimon, according to the opinion of Yochanan Asandler. What's the reasoning? My time with Yochanan Sandler, because he says, as Ruchiyah was giving a shiur once at the opening to the house of the Nasi. So he said, the Pasuk tells us, Ushmartim es HaShabbos ki kodesh ilochem. You have to observe the Shabbos because it's holy for you. Now, Ma kodesh also b'achila, just like hektish is also b'achila, you're not allowed to go and eat something that belongs to hektish. So af ma'ase Shabbos asur b'achila. So too, we make this comparison ki kodesh ilochem to compare it to Shabbos. So hektish and Shabbos are comparable, just like you can't eat hektish. So too, if somebody did an isur of Shabbos asur b'achila, that's Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's opinion that if you did it intentionally, you're never allowed to eat it, not you and not anybody else. Wait a second. If Kodesh is also by Noah, so then Shabbos should also be also by Noah. But it doesn't say that this meat couldn't be given to a guy. So, Talmud Lomar Lochem. That's why it says the word Kikoshi Lochem. That implies, Shalochem Yehei, it is yours. However, you can't eat it. Therefore, Yochel v'lo b'shogeg, you might have thought that this applies even if you shechted by accident. You did something b'shogeg, or cooked it b'shogeg. Tamud omar, mechalalel most you must. It's only if you did it intentionally, where there's a chiyuv of misa, that this prohibition applies. B'mezid amarati l'cho, v'lo b'shogeg. But this doesn't apply if you did it by accident. So that's Rav Yochanan Asandler's understanding. And pligi bo Rav Acha v'Ravina in regards to this understanding. Chadamar ma'isi shabbos d'raisa. Chadamar d'rabbanan. One said it's a din d'raisa, one said it's a din d'rabbanan. Oh, mandi omer d'raisa, one says it's a din d'raisa, oh, k'damar, that goes in exactly with what we just said. But mandi omer d'rabbanan, one says it's a d'rabbanan, omer k'ra kodesh, the pasuk tells us that this is kodesh, he kodesh, v'ein ma'aseh kodesh. So we darsh it out over here, and when it says, it is kodesh, he kodesh, it is kodesh, the Shabbos itself is Kodesh, but ein ma'aseh Kodesh. But the actions that you do aren't Kodesh, and therefore it's only a din d'rabbanan and not a din d'oraisa. No, l'man d'yom d'rabbanan, mai tamayu d'rabbanan d'patre, according to Rav Yochanan Sanda, who says that mid d'rabbanan, you only are not allowed to use this. So then, how come the Chachamim say in the situation where the Shliach was Tavu Chamachar that he would be Patre? Why would he be Patre? The whole thing is only a din d'rabbanan over here. So Gemara says, ki ko patre rabbanan ashaira. The rabbis were saying in the other situations that you're potter, but not in regards to Hilchah Shabbos. They would say you're potter in the case of the Shor HaNitzkal or in the case of the Avodah Zarah, but not in the case of Shabbos. You're right. Tak, in the case of Shabbos, they would agree that you'll be chayv because it's only a din de rabbanan over here, and therefore they would be chayv v'tavach hamachar in this situation. With this, we conclude today's shir.